This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Today is Tuesday. It is Do Not Draft Tuesday. Or something like that. July 28th, welcome to the show. Tomorrow we start the position previews, but today we tell you who we're not going to have on our fantasy teams based on current average draft position. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Dave Richard here. So we're looking at players that we think are maybe going a little bit too early, or players we just don't like them. They're not for me. We'll explain our thoughts on the Do Not Draft list, although I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We've got news and notes. We didn't talk about Jacoby Brissett on Sunday night. That's my bad, but he signed a one-year, $15.5 million deal, and he says he has to learn the playbook. I'm thinking maybe he should have been doing that previously, but okay. Daniel Jones has been fully cleared for camp, so we'll talk about those two quarterbacks. Tucker Kraft update, Josh Jacobs update, and more. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Brissett shouldn't have learned the playbook, because if he hadn't gotten a new contract, he wouldn't be playing this year. And what's the point of learning a playbook that you're not going to use?
He was under contract.
So he could still hold out. Yeah, Le'Veon did that once.
He could have learned.
Worked out great.
He could have learned the playbook while he was holding out.
I'm sure he learned the playbook. He just doesn't fully know the playbook.
He's learned
like 25 playbooks over the course of his career. So I'm pretty sure he can get the gist of this one.
He said he's playing catch up right now and he still has to learn Mike McFleur's system.
Well, I'm sure that's the case, but I would guess that he knows the playbook.
The way I read it, it did not seem like he really put in the hours to learn the playbook.
Didn't he say something like, oh, hell no, I don't know it?
It's exactly what he said. He said, oh, hell no. I don't know if he said, I don't know it at the end, but he said, oh, hell no. All right. Well, anyway, that's the way the season's starting. And then pretty much everyone, I talked about this with Jacob on Beyond the Box Score. Like, everyone in the world has looked at their schedule and said, Arizona is going to be horrible, and then they're going to turn it over to Carson Beck at some point. And Carson Beck, according to one of their beat writers, Theo Mackey, has had a lot of, quote, big misses in camp, 5 or more yards off target. So Jamie has a couple of Cardinals on his do not draft list. We'll get to that in a second. In fact, why don't we start with one player you want to highlight on your do not draft list? Dave Richard?
I'm going to start with Breece Hall, who I don't think is worth the round 3 investment that a lot of people are making. That's even in full PPR. I like him. I don't like the coaches. I don't like their decision to use 3 running backs for the second year in a row. I don't like that last year he averaged 13 PPR points per game. He had 8 games under 10 PPR points last year. That was while sharing the ball on a team with a bad offense. And now Frank Reich is the play caller. Frank Reich has been a habitual multi-running back user. He's got a running downs guy. He's got a passing downs guy. Breece Hall is going to be the running downs guy. He will not be the running downs and the passing downs guy. 4 times in 10 years as a play caller, Frank Reich has had a running back average at least 15 PPR points. Take that back. It's 13, not 15. 13 PPR points per game. And that's the number that I would assign to Breece Hall. It's what he had last year. Could he do a little bit better than that? Of course. Is his ceiling better than that? Yes. Is his floor lower than that? Absolutely. And that makes me nervous to take him in round 3. And I'm kind of nervous to take him in round 4 also. Wow. And so I'm kind of just out on Breece Hall, kind of out on a bunch of Jets other than Garrett Wilson. Not really the team that I want to start investing big picks in.
Okay, Breece Hall, RB 16 in ADP, was RB 21 per game last year. That's Dave's pick to headline his do not draft list. Jamie, how about you?
I'll give you 2, just quickly. Christian McCaffrey and Devon Achane. I was told to say something along the lines of, I don't hate them. I just think they're going a little too early. I take them blank and blank respectively.
Yeah. That was great. So what is, so look at their ADP. They're
well written.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you're a Hall of Fame fantasy analyst, Jamie.
That's why Adam's a Hall of Fame host and producer.
So McCaffrey is RB4 on CBS, RB3 in Fantasy Pros. He's going 8th on CBS, 6th in Fantasy Pros. When would you take McCaffrey?
I would take McCaffrey the earliest at 9th overall. I mean, obviously we're nitpicking here a little bit, but it's just one of those things where I'm probably just not going to draft him. I just look at the situation as I try to avoid as many pitfalls as I can, and he's got a lot of them, as many red flags as I can. And look, you're missing on potentially the best player in fantasy, as we saw last year, best non-quarterback, over 24 PPR points per game. He's just amazing when he's healthy. But we have two prior examples of him with over 400 total touches in his career. One with Carolina, one with San Francisco. The one we remember the most is the most recent one. 2023 had over 400 total touches, including the playoffs. 2024, he played four games. So he's now 30 years old. I don't think it's going to be a little bit of a scary situation for McCaffrey. So I try to avoid that as much as I can. Again, knowing the risk of what you're missing out on. With Achane, it's just a terrible situation for his fantasy outlook because of the team that he's on. Don't expect a lot of touchdown production from the Dolphins because their win total is expected to be very low. That's always a good indicator of a team being bad. Plus, we know what his numbers are with and without Tua Tagovailoa over the last two seasons. 21.5 PPR points per game with Tua on the field, 10.5 PPR points per game without Tua on the field. So I will not be taking Achane at the back end of round one or the early part of round two. The earliest I would take him is 19th overall, which he will never get there.
Okay, Achane is going 12th. In both CBS and Fantasy Pros ADP.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, I get McCaffrey. I've been taking McCaffrey in so many of our drafts. Just seems like I have the same concerns as you, but I guess not to the same degree. So I take him 6th, Jamie. I think my philosophy with McCaffrey is, no, I take him 7th. I'm sorry. With Gibbs, Bijan, Chase, Puka, JSN, and then even Amon-Ra St. Brown, I just have a hard time seeing any of those guys being busts. I could make a case.
No, don't say that.
Yeah, I mean, one of them probably will be, maybe two, but I don't know. They feel very safe to me, and they feel like they have big upside. Everyone after that, you know, I still could see a bust case for everyone after that. So why not take McCaffrey, who has more upside than everyone else? I think if
total sense. Just I see more potential downfall with his history.
Yeah, me too.
And that makes me nervous. Now, look, Jonathan Taylor is usually the running back that's in the conversation with McCaffrey. You saw how great he was in the first half of the season last year and how terrible he was in the second half of the season last year. His is more of a performance thing, I think, with the team around him, than McCaffrey is more of an injury risk thing.
Right.
So you tell me both stay healthy, McCaffrey's going to be better. I don't think there's a question about that. James Cook is the other running back that's using the conversation. I guess for some people it's Genty, because we see that quite a bit. But Genty, as we saw last year, was not great. And does Clint Kubiak, Tyler Linderbaum, and the combination of Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza make things that much better for Genty? I think it makes it better for sure. But is it that much better where you just forget about everything that happened last year? So, you know, when you start to stack these guys up, and then Achane clearly is in the mix as well. I don't think most people are going to take Chase Brown over McCaffrey. So it's really just Genty, Taylor, and maybe Cook. I think when you just start to stack those guys up, you're right. McCaffrey's upside crushes those guys. So if that's what you're shooting for, I think, again, if you want to approach it also, like, knowing that there's a handcuff, I hope there's going to be one.
Yeah.
You know, so whether it's Jordan James, who got a little bit banged up, I think, at practice either yesterday or the day before, or Kalen Black, seems like those are the two most logical guys. I don't think Isaac Garendo has a shot at it right now. I think that makes you feel a little bit better because you could target that guy earlier. You know, Dave's talked about the Giants guys and being in on Tyrone Tracy. Like, if you just know you're drafting McCaffrey and you're going to settle for that, I almost think, like, his ADP is probably going to be, or that player's ADP, again, let's say it's Jordan James, is probably round 10 or later. Like, the minute you get to that round 8 range where it starts to get just really, really ugly, mm-hmm. disgusting, you know, just lock it up, knowing that the San Francisco running back history has been pretty solid.
I'm sorry to take a detour here, but I've been thinking about this auction strategy for weeks, and I haven't said it on the show, and I want to...
Auctions that you don't do?
I do an auction. I don't do the
office. Oh, that's right.
Auction.
You do with your softball team where you're the only person that knows anything about fantasy.
That's not true. Plenty of good players in the league. What do you think
about? I heard a theory, though, by the way, speaking of detours, that since you are such a jerk with the fantasy league, that the throw that hit you in the arm,
it was the other team. The other
team. It actually got out of the way, so it hit you.
Oh, my guy slid, so it would hit me. All right, what do you think about this auction strategy? You want one of the first round running backs. So you start with a somewhat aggressive bid because I think the handcuffs, let's say you're in a $100 league. I think the handcuff running backs are $1 players other than like Usually. Corum and Manangai.
Right.
You start with kind of an aggressive bid on Pacheco or Jordan James. I don't think he would qualify. Brian Robinson Jr. in Atlanta, Ray Davis or something like that. I think specifically Pacheco would be the guy. You get that guy. If you get that guy, do you? And then you also get Gibbs, even if you have to overpay. But do you think that getting the handcuff right out of the gate before Gibbs is even nominated lowers Jahmyr Gibbs's value at all in an auction league? Or lowers? No, because people might say, I can't handcuff him. There's no way.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that don't want to handcuff anyway.
I think there's a strong portion
of the fantasy universe that doesn't care about that.
I think there's a good chunk that does.
Understand this. Let's say you just said they all go for a dollar, right, in a $100 budget. Mm-hmm. So let's say you bid $3 for Pacheco because that will easily get him.
Yes.
So now you're saying to the rest of the league, hey, I just spent $2 more on Pacheco.
Yes. Now listen.
Now you have to go get Gibbs.
Now before you make fun of me, I think maybe half of your league is like, well, I can no longer handcuff him. So it's a little bit risky for me to spend so much of my budget on a player that I can't handcuff because
I really can see this playing out.
But wait,
hold on.
Don't make fun of me yet. The other angle of it is this. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think Jahmyr Gibbs could be so good. I think he could be so good that he could be worth 40% of your budget. So if you spent 40% of your budget on him and Pacheco, even if he got hurt, you might still be in decent shape.
You know how you can really dominate your league? you just come out of the gate and you just go, I'm taking Brian Robinson Jr., Isaiah Pacheco, Jordan James. You know what? I just spent $6 on all them, and I'm going to get all three of their guys because now nobody else is going to want to get them.
Spend that extra dollar on DJ Giddens in Indianapolis because everyone's going to head for the hills on Jonathan Taylor.
I think
why don't you spend five bucks on Yoshivas so that way you can get Jamar Chase for 8 cents.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back,
let's just not remember the last 3 minutes of this show.
I wish Dan was on for this.
Oh, Dan would be going crazy. First, Dan would be going on and on about how great auctions are, and he's right about that. We'll save that diatribe for another time. But boy, would he be laying into you for this, Adam.
What a gross misuse
of money. If I were your wife, I'd be concerned about how you're spending our finances.
So,
if I were your wife, this would be a very awkward
process. Hold on for 1 second here. How much do you think, let's say out of a $100 budget, in retrospect, how much do you think Christian McCaffrey, who averaged, what, almost 24 to 25 fantasy points per game last year, how much do you think he was actually worth in retrospect?
Oh, worth? At least, I mean, he was the best player in
50% of your budget.
That's my freaking point right there. I think 50 is too high, but in retrospect, he was worth at least 40% of your budget.
Right. I was going to say 35, but if you want to say 40,
I think Jahmyr Gibbs could be that good this year. I laid it out in the Bold Predictions episode. He is incredible, and he hasn't even been the goal line back for the last 3 years. If he starts scoring touchdowns, he could
be. Yes, that's why you spend the money on him.
If you spend the money on both of them, then what you have done is you have said, all right, my worst case scenario is I spend all this money on Jahmyr Gibbs and he gets hurt. And then I don't have the roster because I've spent so much money on Gibbs. He just got hurt. I don't have the roster to do anything competitive.
Stop interrupting
me for 5 seconds. I don't have the roster because I spent so much on Gibbs. But if you make sure you get Pacheco, then that's an important thing to do. That makes your team more viable because Pacheco could be 70% of that if he's the lead back. All right, forget it. You guys aren't taking this seriously.
No. I'm hearing everything you say. The difference is that Pacheco isn't going to do more than maybe 50% of what you're expecting.
No, I think he could do better than that. If he's the lead running back for the Lions, he could do 70. We could score 16, 17 points per game. He could be very good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go through your news and notes and get through the Do Not Draft list on Fantasy Football Today. All right, we are back. Welcome back, everybody. Draftathon is starting very soon. I've got a URL for you here. If you want to go to our Draftathon page, you can purchase spots in our mock draft. You can purchase spots in a mailbag. Get your questions answered there. And let me get you the URL real quick. But go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. 2026. Got choked up. tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. 2026. That's the URL for you if you want to go to our Draftathon page and start donating to St. Jude right now. Again, you can purchase a mailbag question to be answered on our mailbag show, or a spot in the mock draft, or a featured spot in the mock draft where we're also, well, Jamie will write up a little something about your, oh, it's sold out already for our first mock, for write up something on your team. And the CBS Sports Fantasy app, that's how you need to be playing fantasy football this year. You can scan the QR code right here on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday and download the CBS Sports Fantasy app. It's new. It's improved. It's really, really good now. And it has been, but it's freaking awesome now. So please
check it out. And we want to hear about it. We want you to tell us what you like or what you don't like about it.
All right.
People have already been reaching me on my inbox and on Twitter telling me about what they love about the new app. And I'm passing it along to every single one of our back-end geniuses that have built this. And I use the term genius with sincerity. They are really smart people. This app is great.
Let's go to the news and notes with Arizona and Jacoby Brissett agreeing to a one-year deal, $15.5 million, chance to earn $21 million for Brissett. And he was, I think he was eighth best for a stretch, like for a long stretch, before kind of struggling down the stretch the last three games of the season. But he was really good. Currently QB 30 in Fantasy Pros, outside the top 22 in CBS, but understandably so. In a two-quarterback league, Jamie, do you have interest in Jacoby Brissett?
Absolutely. You know, I think depending on how you draft, you know, especially if you want to take one of your quarterbacks early and then sort of piece together your number two and your number three, or just your number two quarterback. But it's one of those situations where I think you know what you're going to get from him. You know, he's probably going to be on a bad week, still in that 17, 18 point per game range. There'll obviously be some disasters in there, but I still think we're going to see them throw the ball a lot. The run game is going to be better because the additions of Love and Algier and a healthy James Conner. So you probably won't get them leading the NFL in pass attempts, but this is still a very, very much a defense in progress, rebuilding the defense in progress. So we're going to see a lot of probably games where they're chasing points. They're already 10.5 point underdogs in week one against the Chargers. So, you know, right away you could see them in a situation where they have to pass a lot. And if everybody stays healthy, the weapons are great, you know, with Harrison, Wilson, and McBride. So I think there's still an opportunity for Jacoby Brissett, as long as he stays the starter, to still be a borderline top 15 quarterback. So it's just a lot of people aren't going to trust him out to start the season to be that guy.
All right, Dave, Daniel Jones has been fully cleared for training camp. Alec Pierce is on the PUP list after ankle surgery in March, so we expected that. He may not be back until late in camp, maybe after preseason starts.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Daniel Jones, who was QB 13 per game and 4 point, 14 and 6 point. But remember, he barely played against Jacksonville. He scored 0.8 of a fantasy point. If you remove that game, Daniel Jones was a top 8 quarterback, slightly better than Dak Prescott last year. And he scored 24 or more points in 5 of his first 8 games in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. What do you think about Daniel Jones this year?
I think he's a better number two QB than Brissett, because if he stays healthy, he's going to be the starter in Indianapolis for the entire season. Whereas Brissett, we're just not sure how long he's going to be the starter for in Arizona, but that's it. I don't see him getting drafted into one QB league. I'm glad he's going to participate in all of training camp. So It's good for the passing game to have that continuity and not have to deal with Jones being slow to recover and all that other stuff. And I'm kind of hoping a little bit that he doesn't run as much, and that obviously hurts his fantasy production, but it'll help his pass attempts, and that's good for all the pass catchers that he has. I did move Pierce down a little bit on the PUP news, especially since there's a chance he could miss half of training camp. We don't know exactly when he's going to come back. And now there's just so many ifs with Pierce. If he can take on a different role in the offense, if he sees a higher target volume, if he can command more targets than Tyler Warren and Josh Downs, if he can be healthy enough to practice for 3+ weeks before the season starts, it's just too much. His ADP on Fantasy Pros is right around 80th overall. I might be a little higher than that, but he's still somebody that I'm looking at round 7, round 8.
I think Alec Pierce is flirting with my do not draft list, although I don't think he's going all that high. I mean, wide receiver 34, 79th overall for a guy
who's still worth the investment there.
Right, right. There's nobody behind him that I think, I would take Jordan Tyson over him, I think. Dave would
know what.
I mean, look, there are guys you can make a case for
over
him.
Right.
I just think, like, in that spot, there's so much opportunity for him. And so even if he does get off to a slow start, like, think about Christian Watson last year, right? If you get that type of production late in the season or middle of the season, like, you'll be thrilled.
Yep. All right, just a few more things here. Tucker Kraft's on the PUP list. Josh Jacobs' domestic violence case is still an open investigation. Marshawn Lloyd
is... just out there. That's why he's on my do not draft list.
Okay. Marshawn Lloyd is healthy, and Micah Parsons is likely to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks. San Francisco wide receiver Christian Kirk is not healthy. He's going to miss some time with a calf strain. Rookie wide receiver DeJuan Stribling, though, appears to be having a good camp, and Brock Purdy called DeJuan Stribling a baller. Seattle wide receiver Torrey Horton is limited. He avoided the PUP list. He had a shin injury in November, did not come back, but he avoided the PUP list, so Torrey Horton limited. Jadarian Price has been used a lot in the passing game, but it's because that's where he needs the most work right now. He and Helani have been alternating with the starters. Helani's been getting the first rep in all the drills, apparently. Tampa Bay defensive tackle Vita Vea has requested a trade. This used to be a guy where when he played, you couldn't run on them. When he did not play, you could run all over them, basically. That wasn't really the case last year. They allowed 4.31 yards per carry to running backs. He played a full season. Great news for Pittsburgh. Offensive tackle Broderick Jones. I mean, it was possible that he wasn't going to play this year from what I understood. He will avoid... that's probably a stretch. I just didn't have a timetable. I didn't know the timetable. He's going to avoid the PUP list. He's making good progress. Broderick Jones for the Steelers. Meanwhile, cornerback Jalen Ramsey is going to be out a few weeks for Pittsburgh. And Minnesota is signing safety Jamal Adams. Okay, we've got the do not draft list now for Dave and Jamie. Dave has two lists. One where the ADP is just a little bit off. We'll fly through that list. And one where the ADP is very off. And Jamie has a list of players as well, headlined by McCaffrey and Achane, who we already told you about. And Josh Jacobs. I guess I'll just ask you real quick about Jacobs. So the open investigation still into the domestic violence. He's currently going at the 2-3 turn, 24th, 25th overall.
Nope.
No? So... yeah, where would you take him, and what do you think the... I don't know if you've been reading up on it or not, but do you have any idea of whether or not Jacobs might be suspended this year?
It doesn't sound at this moment that he's going to be suspended, but you never know how the NFL works with these things. If he's formally charged and, you know, has to, you know, face, I don't think jail time, but we'll see, you know, depending on how the case plays itself out. I'm not a legal expert, so I don't want to speak about that, but... I mean, we've seen situations like this before. You know, I was completely the opposite when Ezekiel Elliott was going through his thing. I said, you absolutely draft him, because if this does play itself out where he doesn't see any missed time during the season, you're getting the best or one of the best running backs at that moment, that time, that point in his career. So I think Jacobs mid to end of round three is worth it. But early part of round three, late round two, there are just other players I think are potentially just as good and a lot less risky.
Okay. All right, Dave, ADP is a little off on five players. Four of them are wide receivers. Zay Flowers, 40th overall. Where would you take him?
If that's what his ADP is, I'm pretty good with that, actually.
Okay.
I was seeing his ADP higher than that earlier in the offseason. I've got him at 40th, so scratch him off the list.
Cross him off then. Neighbors... 35th, 34th, right around there, depending on CBS versus Fantasy.
I want to race him up my rank list so bad, because it sounds like he's not going to be on the PUP list, and that's awesome. But I'm still worried that he's not going to be the full version of himself until maybe the second half of this year. And I almost think that that's an optimistic outlook. This one's obviously subject to change. If he starts practicing in 2 weeks and he looks like his old self, then he's gonna go right back in round two. People are going to be excited about Malik Nabers because he's ultra talented. But for now, I just think it's a little too soon to take him in late round three.
Yeah, I took Nabers around 40th overall, something like that, in our pick by pick. Devontae Adams, he's about wide receiver 24, going around 58th on CBS, 52nd in Fantasy Pros.
This is another wide receiver that has seen his ADP drop since couple weeks ago in the offseason. He was going as like a late round four, early round five pick. Now it's more late round five, early round six. He might become a bargain at some point. Like if he starts falling into round six, especially in half and non-PPR, I almost think that that's a bargain, because I still think he can get you 8 touchdowns over the course of the year. Just seeing his numbers decline a little bit more, the efficiency has already happened. The targets have happened over the past couple of seasons. That could continue on this year. I think late round five is okay.
Okay, yeah, and we know Devontae Adams scores touchdowns. 86% of the wide receivers who have scored 8 or more touchdowns in the last 10 seasons, not over the 10-season span, but in one individual season. So 86% of 8 touchdown scorers at wide receiver have averaged 13.4 or more PPR fantasy points per game, which is kind of the in between what wide receiver 24 was in 2024 and 2025. Would have been wide receiver 18 last year. So if he's going, basically my point is, if Adams is going 24th in ADP, if he scores eight or more touchdowns, based on the last decade, he's got an 86% chance to likely meet his average draft position.
I'd rather have Neighbors than Adams, and obviously the ADP reflects that.
Marvin Harrison Jr. going 68th and CBS 72nd on Fantasy Pros. Harrison is wide receiver 31 on both sites.
I'm a little bit behind that as far as like wide receiver rankings go. I'm basically okay with the ADP. We're seeing a lot of Cardinals highlights because they were one of the first teams to camp and they've been practicing a lot. My takeaway from all their highlights is their defense is going to stink this year. And Marv is just, there's going to be some sort of a target crunch. Don't think he can break away as being the top wide receiver in Arizona. He'll make some good plays, but I just don't know how great of a fit he is as the primary perimeter receiver in an offense that's just dominated with pass catchers winning over the middle, between the numbers. We saw it in LA, and I think we're going to see something similar to that type of build in Arizona. And if Marvin Harrison's going to be outside and working outside the numbers, his stats have shown that he's not very good there. And that makes me nervous to put him where is this? The end of round six? I guess that's okay. But I still feel like we're drafting him based on his draft capital, his last name, who his dad is, and not based on what we've seen from him, more bad than good, over the last two seasons.
The only thing that keeps me going back to Marvin Harrison is what we started with Jacoby Brissett, is in the four games where he played at least 61% of the snaps with Brissett, because there were only four, he averaged 14.4 PPR points per game, and he averaged 8.8 targets per game. Now, again, are they going to throw as much? That's the big question. How much more does the new offense change for him and for Michael Wilson? Wilson was talking about how he's moving, I think, from the Z to the X, or the X to Z. I forget what he said.
X to the Z.
And how much more that's going to benefit his game, which is obvious. You know, so if he's in different spots, and we've heard the Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams comparison, right, for these two guys, again, don't think about those two players, but think about those two roles and potential opportunities, mostly from a target standpoint, because it might not be that far off if they're throwing that much. But when you factor in everything for all three of these guys, and I'll put Trey McBride in there, when you're comparing McBride to Bowers or even McBride to Loveland based on their cost, it's just one of those things where I think you're looking at Marvin and Wilson specifically, like where they're going makes just a ton of sense, because if they are going to throw a lot, you're hoping that Marvin Harrison, everything Dave said that we're still chasing, again, it did show up with Brissett and hopefully continues with Brissett. And Wilson was awesome when Marvin wasn't there, and Marvin got dinged up a little bit in the early practices, as Dave alluded to. So there's reasons to buy into these guys as long as you're just not overpaying. And I think that's the biggest thing with him.
So who's moving to the X for them?
Wilson. Marvin, according to...
Well, they're switching.
They'll switch, but I would imagine the Marvin will be outside a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jalen Warren, 77th overall in CBS, 76th in Fantasy Pros, right around RB29.
And I'm basically right there on him too. And it's still not somebody that I'm excited to draft. He's more of a settle for low-end RB2. I think he and Rico Dowdle could end up being in a very annoying split.
Before we get to Dave's ADP is a lot off list. Jamie, is there anyone, let's see, you talked about McCaffrey, Achan, and Jacobs. Trey McBride. Is this another one where it's like you like him, you just think he's going a little too early? And the ADPs are actually quite different. On Fantasy Pros, Trey McBride is tight end one, going 20th overall. And on CBS, he's tight end two, going 28th overall.
Yeah, I love that. This was really, I just kind of took it as who haven't you, I think you put a line in the notes, like, who have you not been drafting? And I just have not been drafting Trey McBride. So, like, I took Bowers for the first time in our pick by pick, which was, I had the first overall pick, and I took him at the turn. I think that's easy. I'm just much more excited about Bowers than I am McBride. And to me, if I'm going to take McBride, even in the range that he's going on CBS, like, I'd rather just wait and take one of the other tight ends later. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a step back from McBride. How much, we'll find out, you know. So again, he's still awesome. He should still be the second tight end off the board. I don't think he comes close to what he did last year. I certainly don't think he annihilates the field like he did last year. And if you're going to be early on a tight end, to me, it's easily go Bowers.
Let's go to Dave's ADP is a lot, is off a lot. All right. Breece Hall was the first one you mentioned. Jameson Williams. He is wide receiver 27 on CBS, 26 in Fantasy Pros. Fantasy Pros, he's 57th overall. Jameson Williams, Dave, is on your do not draft list.
He had 4.8 targets per game in 9 games with St. Brown and Sam Laporta last year. He does not have a great track record of putting up great fantasy numbers when Laporta is healthy. And now here comes Drew Petzing with a noted history of utilizing multiple tight end personnel and targeting tight ends in his offense. And I just think that that's part of the reason why the Lions brought him in. I think the Lions want to be bigger and tougher on offense. They want to be able to use their tight ends not only to win matchups in the middle of the field, but also to help block in the run game. That's a strength for Jahmyr Gibbs. And Jameson Williams is an awesome talent. I love the talent, like literally one of my favorite wide receivers in the league. But I just don't see the volume being there for him, and that makes him more of a boom-bust type of number three wide receiver. And so I hate the idea of getting him where his ADP is. It's right around 60th overall. That's the end of round 5. I think it's way too soon. End of round 6 is where I'd start to come in on JMO.
Jordan Tyson, he is going in the 80s. So that's what round, like the 7-8 turn, I think he's going, Jordan Tyson, as wide receiver 36 on both CBS and Fantasy Pros.
I have him as a round 9 pick and a late round 9 pick at that.
Wow.
I again, a great talent, but not a perfect prospect. Had a lot of injuries in college. I would almost forgive him for the ACL and the knee issue that he had that knocked him out for a year. But every other thing that he's had that he's dealt with is a little bit concerning. Just consistently getting banged up. He was banged up during the offseason for New Orleans. And I think it'll take him time to adjust to the Saints offense. And I do think the Saints offense is headed in the right direction. As long as Chris Olave is active and playing, I worry about what type of target volume he's going to have. And I feel like it's the draft capital and the upside profile that people are just falling in love with. And it's almost like nothing else matters when the reality of the situation is that he's not the only show in town. He's not going to see 7+ targets per game. There's a chance that you'll be without him for chunks of the season. I can't take him where the ADP is. I don't see the bull case for him. Hmm.
Okay. So you will not be getting any Jordan Tyson. Jamie, what do you think about Tyson going, you know, 80, let's say 85th, 86th, somewhere around there?
It feels a little too soon, but again, when you start to get into that range of players, you're looking for upside, and he has it based on what his potential could be. But I mean, Dave's not off with the injury history, and he has already been banged up, you know, this offseason. They've been managing his hamstring from a year ago. I believe it's the hamstring injury that he dealt with from a year ago. So the only thing that keeps me going back to it is we don't know yet how healthy Olave is. You know, so he had the blood clot situation this entire offseason. He's got the concussion history. Like, if he does miss any time, my gosh, Jordan Tyson could be an absolute stud. So I don't agree with what you said. Like, I still think there's more upside for now, at least with Alec Pierce in his offense and his situation than there is with Jordan Tyson. But that's where you're starting to get to. You know, you're talking about wide receiver 33, 34 for Pierce and, you know, maybe wide receiver 40 for Jordan Tyson. So it's not far off if you really want to, you know, just avoid the Pierce injury and pupless situation. Again, that's not the ideal person to pivot to in Tyson, given his history. But I just think Kellen Moore's offense, like, you want pieces of that. It's going to be fun once again.
I see Michael Wilson, George Kittle, Parker Washington, Wandale Robinson, all going after Tyson on Fantasy Pros ADP. I'll take all of them ahead of Tyson.
Cool. I don't know. That was a mix between okay and cool, and it was like Colt. DK Metcalf, and he is going 90th on CBS, 82nd in Fantasy Pros, either wide receiver 39, wide receiver 35, depending on the site. DK Metcalf, oh, Dave, you and I are going to have to fight over who is not going to take DK Metcalf.
He had just as many games with under 10 PPR points last year as he did with 14+, and now the Steelers have added not one, but two pass catchers that are definite upgrades for their whole offense. And the offense is changing. It's Mike McCarthy and his love of slants and shorter throws and types of routes that DK Metcalf can run, but Michael Pittman's been better at them. Jeremy Bernard in college was better at them. Aaron Rodgers has some options now. And it just makes me think that the target volume for DK Metcalf might go down a little bit. The efficiency could go down a lot. And this is not somebody that I want to draft. I think people are drafting him because of his name. And once upon a time, he was a great wide receiver. He was stuck in an offense that rarely challenged downfield last year. He had his worst per game average in any reception-based format since his rookie year. I just don't see him turning it around. He averaged barely 12 PPR points per game last year. I'm going to take the under on that one, Adam.
So is everybody like Pittman better than Metcalf at this point?
Yes, I do. I don't know about Jamie, but I do.
I know Jamie was on the fence. Pittman
better than Metcalf? Yeah. Not yet.
No? Okay. And last one for Dave is Ken Gainwell of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is right around pick 100 as RB 35.
And I get the idea of why you'd love him after what happened last year. He had 5.1 targets per game, but I think that's more because of Aaron Rodgers more than anything else. I don't think he'll see that same type of target volume. I do think he's going to be in the Rashad White role. That role has usually been around 3.5 to 4 targets per game. And I don't know how many carries he's going to take away on a week-to-week basis, as long as Bucky Irving is okay. Now, we know the track record with Bucky isn't great. I'll submit that because he's going after 100th overall, it's not that bad of a pick if you're taking him in round 9. I'd rather get him in round 10, maybe even round 11, certainly round 11 if it's non-PPR. In full PPR, I get it. He's going to have some good value, and he could be a decent flex and potential spot starter for your fantasy team. But don't go into this year thinking that he's going to be the exact same guy that he was last year when he was averaging 13 PPR points per game. I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, Johnny Airport points out in the chat that I could not afford to draft DK Metcalf because I spent all of my auction money on handcuffs to start the draft. I think the point that I was not making well enough was that I think Jahmyr Gibbs has the potential to be insanely good this year. And I'm happy to overpay for him and Pacheco, because in an auction, if you draft Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to limit, if you spend a lot on Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to limit the rest of your roster. I think you really have to get Pacheco because I think Pacheco is the best handcuff in fantasy this year.
Jamie, I love how he's making this point now that Dan left the private chat.
No, he's not. Dan's still here. Dan is spamming our YouTube chat.
You should let Dan on just to have.
I don't want Dan on. If Dan on, we'll never get to the do not avoid list or the do not draft list.
We just got through half the do not draft list.
Yeah, now we got to talk about George Pickens for Jamie and Travis Etienne or Achan and Jeremiah Love. We can do that when we come back. Just want to point out, you know, Kenneth Gainwell mentioned the Rashad White role. That was a pretty lousy role, as it turned out, once they decided Bucky Irving was their guy. In 10 games with Bucky Irving last year, Rashad White averaged 6.2 points per game. And if you look at 2024, they kind of decided last 4 games of the year, I think 2 regular season, 2 playoff in 2024. Bucky's our guy. Rashad White, he barely got any work. So
yeah, I just think the money that they paid him and what Bucky Irving happened with him last year, I think Gainwell's going to have a pretty significant role in the pass game.
All right. Well, let's take a break. I'm very curious to see why George Pickens is on Jamie's do not draft list going at the 2-3 turn. We'll be right back on FFT. Perhaps Jamie not swayed by the George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb discussion yesterday. But all right, you have McCaffrey and Achan. We talked about them. Josh Jacobs, Trey McBride. We talked about them on your do not draft list. Why is George Pickens here? He's wide receiver 9 at the 2-3 turn.
Yeah, it's not so much that I would not draft him. It's that I have not drafted him, and I probably will continue to avoid him just with the other receivers going around him. So once A.J. Brown's ADP officially passes him, that's an easy one for me because I like A.J. Brown's situation better. And like I said yesterday, I like Devontae Smith better than George Pickens. So when I get to that range of receivers, I just think Pickens is going to take a step back. I think we're going to see a better CeeDee Lamb. I think we're going to see less volume in the passing attack across the board for the Cowboys. And so Pickens just makes me a little nervous. So still, I love him at that value. It's where I usually see him go middle of round 2 that makes me a little queasy. But he's just somebody I haven't drafted yet, and that's kind of why I put him on the list.
Did you say Nico?
Like, I would take Nico over him, yeah.
So Nico, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith over Pickens. Mm-hmm. Dave, how do you feel about that?
Not Devontae Smith, but the rest for sure. And I would take both tight ends ahead of George Pickens too, McBride and Bowers.
You know, I had a stat in the notes that I decided after my incredibly insightful auction strategy discussion. I got rid of the stat. It was about C.J. Stroud. This was from CBS Sports Research. Oh, I wish I hadn't deleted it. He's the first quarterback. Let's see.
Only first quarterback in NFL history with a passing yards per game drop of 50 plus from year one to years two and three.
Yes. So he is 50 yards worse per game in years two and three than he was in year one. Now, part of the reason for that is he's left some games with injuries and it's really knocked that number down. But yeah, CJ Stroud just hasn't been very good. I'm a huge Nico Collins fan, but I saw that stat and I remember he had what, 10 fumbles or something like that in two playoff games. He had something crazy, ridiculous amount of turnovers in two playoff games. And, you know, you've got the stability of Dak Prescott there. So when you compare those two players specifically, am I making a case for Pickens over Nico Collins? I would take Nico, but the quarterback is just, Jamie, it's not even close, really.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, sure, you could probably make the same argument for Pickens versus Drake London if you're concerned about the quarterbacks, right? So, like, when you start to look at some of the guys there, Justin Jefferson, you know, and the quarterbacks. So sometimes you got to have a little bit, I guess, blind faith in that the quarterback and the coaching staff and the offense, et cetera, will hopefully overcome some of the inconsistent quarterback play or, you know, in the case of CJ Stroud, poor quarterback play. But, you know, Nico's going to get fed targets, and I think Stroud is good enough that he can support at least one wide receiver at a high level, as we've seen.
Five fumbles and five interceptions in two playoff games. The second, I think both of them were bad weather. The second one, definitely at New England, was terrible weather.
Yep.
All right, back to Jamie's Do Not Draft
List. Blame it on the rain.
And that's the thing with the Do Not Draft List. For me, I have a lot of guys that are kind of like Pickens, where it's not that I don't like them. It's that I clearly like guys in the same range better, and I just never end up drafting them. So
That's not saying Pickens is a bust. Just saying that there are other guys I prefer.
And you know what else? You know who a guy is for me is Jefferson. I have not gotten myself to draft Justin Jefferson.
Me neither.
How come? Because again, there's so many guys at the 1-2 turn that I love.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yep. I haven't drafted Jefferson yet.
I don't see him getting back north of 18 PPR points per game with Kyler. He's going to be better than he was last year. He's an easy bounce back candidate. Had him on my bounce back list. But I think if you're drafting with the idea he's around 16 per game, that's great. And he should be able to hit that. But that's closer to like the 1-2 turn, maybe even to early round two, rather than top 12, top 10.
All right. I think with Jefferson is I saw the failure last year. And I fear it won't be nearly that bad.
Correct.
I think 16 is the floor.
Yeah, but 16 would be disappointing, I think, in the first round.
Right. If you're taking him as a top 10 pick, I think you'd be a little underwhelmed if it's 16.
All right, Jamie, Jeremiah Love going 30th on CBS, 21st on Fantasy Pros. I know there's no way you're taking him in the second round. Would you take him 30th, Jeremiah Love?
In that range, yeah. It's just, again, another player that I haven't drafted much. And when you get to that spots, there's usually receivers on the board that I like better. So like Abuka, I would take over him. Certainly Devontae Smith, I would take over him at this point. He's still, for me, in the Josh Jacobs discussion, you know, Kyren Williams discussion. So depending on what I did in the first two rounds, do I want a safer player in round three or somebody with more upside? I just don't love the fact that we're going to see as of now, I was really hoping that they would make a move to get rid of James Conner because it sounds like they're going to still use Conner to some degree. Algiers is going to have an opportunity here. And then a team that will run the ball better than they did a year ago, they were completely miserable. I still don't think this is a great rushing offense and a team that is going to struggle defensively. And you've heard in the two episodes we had on with Scott Turner, it's hard to give running backs enough carries in the fourth quarter when they're chasing points. And in this case, probably chasing points by double digits. So I think just Jeremiah Love's going to have a lot of great moments. I think you definitely want him on your dynasty roster, long-term keeper leagues. But it just feels like we could be in a situation where it's Ashton Jeanty worse, you know, because Jeanty didn't have competition last year. Love's going to have a lot of competition. So
here's a thought exercise that I went through, and I'd love to hear your answer, both of you. What would have to happen for you to move Jeremiah Love up into a second round pick in your rankings, top 24 pick, you'd be comfortable taking? What would have to happen?
Nothing.
Certainly an injury or a move for one of the other running backs would be the starting point. So Algier or Connor getting injured or Connor getting moved. Probably some of the guys in front of him, you know, dealing with injuries or concerns. That's probably the bigger part of this is, you know, who of the top 24 guys has to move down for whatever reason, you know? So I think that's part of it also, but it just, we've fallen victim to this as an industry. And I know I have of here's Bijan Robinson and here's where he was drafted and here's what he did in college and all these things. oh, and his talent will overcome the situation. And it didn't happen for Bijan in his rookie season because of Tyler Allgeier. And then we get to the next guy, which was Ashton Jeanty, and it's everything is perfect, and there's no competition for targets. Oh, the offensive line stinks, but he's too good. He'll overcome it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he struggles. So I just, for me, like, I want to view Love, and I wrote this in his player outlook, and I think in some other stories, like, if you just took Ashton Jeanty's numbers and said he was, I think he was the 14th running back, like, that's fine for a rookie season. It's absolutely great, you know, for what, how he did on the team that he was on. It's just, we were so disappointed because we had such higher expectations.
Right.
And so if Jeremiah Love does that, where now he's ranked in that range, then I think, okay, you know what the expectations are. And if he lives up to those expectations, you know, you got a very good number two running back. I think if everybody went into it last year and saying, Ashton Jeanty is going to be a really good number two running back, you would have been fine with it. Just the fact that you took him in the first round and you took him in some cases over some pretty good players, and then you just were left disappointed. So I think if you just understand what Jeremiah Love is in the situation that he's in right now, like, he can be better than that, but I don't know how much worse he'll be. That's the thing.
Right. You went to the same exact place I went to. The only thing I would add is if we hear like the offensive line is better, maybe they make an addition to it in Arizona, and maybe I'm wrong about the Cardinals defense sucking and they're actually going to play better and they look better in joint practices. I don't even know if they have a joint practice. I think they do, but stuff like that. Yeah, I need like wholesale change in the running back room in Arizona, plus more bad news about Kyren Williams, bad news about Josh Jacobs to move Jeremiah Love. And in Bijan's rookie year and Ashton Jeanty's rookie year, they were almost identical in PPR points per game. Bijan was 14.5. Ashton was 14.4. I think if you draft Jeremiah Love at 14, I think you'll be a happy camper. And I think that that's reasonable to expect in a middle round three pick.
Yeah. See, I would give Bijan more fantasy points than that because of the migraine game. But you know me.
I started him in the migraine game and got no points.
Yeah, but it didn't really, that doesn't, when we look back at it, it doesn't reflect how good he was when he actually played. And he wasn't that great. I mean, he still wouldn't have been worth what he was picked, no question. Right. I don't, you know, I look at round two and I look at the 2-3 turn, and I don't think there's much that could get Love there because I think round two is loaded. And I know we could play this soundbite in January and I could sound like an idiot because there could be a bunch of busts. But when I look at the players going in round two, I just see so many good players. And at the 2-3 turn, we're talking about AJ Brown and George Pickens and Nico Collins and Rashee Rice. I mean, Rashee Rice is going 26th. I don't know how updated that is.
Oh, I love that. That's crazy.
Derrick Henry going 21st. You know, Ken Walker might fall there. You got the tight ends and Bowers and McBride. It's like, I just...
And that's not including the quarterbacks if they get there.
Yeah, right now it's only Josh Allen. He's there, but I don't know. It's hard for Jeremiah Love to crack the top 24 when you've got established, proven players that are really good, which is why I really want an early pick this year. Okay. Anywho, Travis Etienne, really excited to hear your thoughts on this. He's RB18 on CBS and Fantasy Pros. He's going around 40th overall, so early to mid round four. You're out if that's the value on Travis Etienne?
Yeah, I'm pretty much out altogether. I think, you know, round five, if he's there, clearly I'll be interested. But if he's in the round four range, early round five range, I'm just concerned because what we've seen from Kellen Moore, he just does not involve his running backs in the passing game to the level that I think that Travis Etienne needs to be involved. And so you look at it, it's been 20th or worse in running back total targets. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but he's had some really good pass-catching running backs. Saquon Barkley and Kenneth Gainwell on the same roster did not get involved in the passing game. You had last year where Kamara missed a good portion of the season, but we know he wasn't headed in that direction, and I think they were bottom five in terms of total running back targets. He had Austin Ekeler for a season. That was his best in terms of his last five seasons. That was actually 20th. And he had Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, didn't involve those guys in the passing game either. So it's just one of those situations.
Dude, Zeke had three straight years with 47 or more catches, though.
I almost think that that's more of a byproduct.
I'm just talking total running back targets.
Yeah, right. It's just, okay, I totally get what you're saying. If Kamara is an issue, which I think you probably expect him to be, then that's one thing. But if Etienne is getting most of those targets, then it's really not a big deal, I think, if the running back team targets
okay.
Will go.
I don't think we're going to get necessarily he's not involved in the passing game completely. This is just not something that's going to enhance his game because it's just not something that he does to a high level. So when you have guys that have done it at a high level and then they're seeing some of their numbers decline, so 47 for Zeke is great. I think that's wonderful. I don't know if Travis Etienne gets there in this offense if Kamara stays healthy. Now, granted, Kamara, 31, didn't stay healthy last season, but if you're going to keep him on the roster, why would you not use that as the primary option in his role, his primary role, because that's what he's done as well, if not better, than most running backs in the league. Mm-hmm. So now you're hoping for the touchdown potential here for Travis Etienne. You've talked about this a lot. He's never been a good goal line option. Never. And so what we've seen from him in 2 of 4 seasons has been miserable. 2 of 4 seasons have been very solid. I think he's going to be good. He's still ranked as a top 20 running back for me. I just don't want to take him in round 4. Like, I'd rather take a chance on the upside. And granted, you could debate the upside. The upside of Quinshon Judkins, Cam Scataboo. I'm trying to think who else I have ranked ahead of him. I don't know if I have
Brees Hall ranked ahead of him.
I definitely have Brees Hall ranked ahead of him.
What about DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery?
No, I haven't ahead of Montgomery. So it's like that kind of fall off for me. I just don't think he's going to be great. I think we're getting a regression situation for him. I wish Kamara was gone, because I do think then 47 catches, maybe 50 catches, is still within the realm of possibility. And you can still get Kellen Moore having a decreased number of reception totals there, or targets for his running backs. It's just, it's not something that he caters to. And I think these type of players need that to have part of their game, to get them to the fantasy production that we need to get.
Yeah, I mean, I totally see your point. I just feel like there aren't that many guys after the first couple rounds that are every down backs. I mean, there's hardly any.
I don't think he's an every down back.
Yeah, right. But that's the thing, is he's being drafted in the range of other non-every down backs. Scataboo actually could be, based on last year. I mean, not an every down back, but he's going to play on third down based on last year. Bucky Irving probably isn't. Quinshon Judkins isn't. DeAndre Swift, he might play some third downs, but we know he's going to be in a split. These are the guys going after him, Travion Henderson. So I guess the knock you have on ETN, I feel like, would be a similar knock for every other running back in his range, even Breece Hall. Goal line and passing downs, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see about that one, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's just
at least Etienne's on an offense that should put up a lot of points, and that's a saving grace for him. I don't think he hasn't been an efficient runner very much over the course of his career. He's much more of a compiler than anything else, but he's been consistent for fantasy. He's been 7th in consistency for fantasy 2 of the last 3 seasons. You just need him to get north of 15 touches a game. And that's what kind of saved him last year, was that he averaged 17.4 touches per game. And if he can come close to that in New Orleans while staying healthy on a team that's got a good offensive line — I think they've got a good enough offensive line anyway — terrible defense, should score a lot of points. I do like the upside of this offense overall. I think HN can return good value as a round 4 pick. I might be in the minority there.
I struggle a lot with it. I see all of Jamie's points. I also see Kamara as, arguably one of the worst rushers in football for a while. And last year he was terrible, at least his efficiency as a receiver. Although I think those are kind of fluky stats, and he's 31 and he gets hurt. So, I've been kind of pro ETN, but in the back of my mind is always everything that Jamie just said there. I mean, I totally see where you're coming from. He's a tough one for me. Tetterell McMillan is on your do not draft list. He's going in the same range as Travis Etienne.
We talked about this a lot recently. I think just looking at it with how Bryce Young is going to operate, how Jalen Coker impacted McMillan down the stretch last season, the offensive tackles not being there for the start of the season, maybe into the middle part of the season, who knows, just in terms of their injuries, blood clot situation, et cetera. So I think McMillan is very good. I think he's a good number 2 running back, number 2 receiver. I see the numbers here from Sportsline, their projections: 127 targets, 74 catches, 1,094 yards, 7 touchdowns. They have him as a 20th wide receiver. It's kind of where he finished last year. So if I can get him in this range, I'm okay with it, but he's just not somebody that when I see him going round 3, I'm like, okay, somebody else took that chance. I don't want to do it.
Right.
I'm going to ask you about 2 other running backs. I'll group them in with ETN. So you have Etienne, Travis Etienne. You have both Etienne's. You have Bucky Irving, who's going in the 4th round, and Travion Henderson, who's going in the 5th round. So those are running backs 18, 19, and 22 or 23, somewhere between 18 and 23. That's Travis Etienne, Bucky Irving, and Travion Henderson. If you're not drafting them, who are you drafting at running back in that range, rounds 4-5-ish?
I'm probably not drafting a running back, but if I was, it would probably be lower. I'd probably wait for Montgomery, who I think would be a steal. I probably would be in on I'd be in on Swift over Irving and Henderson. Judkins, if he's there.
Okay.
Those are the names I was going to.
And then if I miss on those guys, it's probably because I went with a running back start, or I'm just stockpiling receivers here, mostly in the three receiver league. So I probably would take three receivers and a flex. And then I would just start throwing darts at a Pollard, a Hubbard,
Tootin,
Rashad White, Tootin, Gainwell, you know, those type of guys in PPR, where I'll just try and hope to get one, if not two, Jalen Warren, Rico Dowdle, one of those two guys. Like, I'll reference the pick-by-pick draft that we did because that was the first overall pick. I started with Jahmyr Gibbs, Brock Bowers, Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Quinshon Judkins, and then it was Marvin Harrison and Carnell Tate, and then it was Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle. So a little bit different because I already had two running backs there, but kind of to the point. And then the other draft at 7th overall, I started running back. I didn't take another running back until J.K. Dobbins in round 8. So same type of scenario. Just pass on that whole group.
Cool. Last guy is Caleb Williams. He's QB10 on CBS, QB9 on Fantasy Pros, 105th on CBS, 91st on Fantasy Pros. I kind of feel like his ADP has gotten a little lower.
It's gotten a lot better. It's just somebody. This isn't somebody that I would pass on, just somebody I haven't drafted yet. And kind of the reason why he was going too soon. So as he continues to fall, I like it. I know one guy you don't like, which I'm curious how you feel about Justin Herbert versus Caleb Williams. But I think there's much more upside with Herbert. I think there's much more upside with Trevor Lawrence. Not much more upside, but more upside with Trevor Lawrence. I think Caleb Williams is going to be good. I just don't know if he's going to break through that ceiling like we're hoping for. So, like, I'll take the over on the sports line projections that you're looking at. I do think he gets his first the first 4,000-yard season in Bears history if he stays healthy. Obviously, we're all excited about the receiving core here to various degrees of Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Romo Dunze. And so Caleb showed a lot of great things at the end of last season. I just don't know if he's going to crack the top five. And I think there's a chance that Herbert and Lawrence could crack the top five.
Yeah, you said I don't like Herbert. It's the same thing. I do like Herbert quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He was on your do not draft.
Yeah, on my do not draft list in this like your George Pickens is. I like Herbert a lot. I just feel like I don't think that he or Caleb Williams is necessarily that much better than Brock Purdy or Jared Goff or Matthew Stafford or Trevor Lawrence. And I see Herbert and Caleb sort of being at the top of that group in ADP. So I don't mind taking them, especially if they're going around 100th. Williams was going in like the 70s or something like that. I mean, he was going super early, maybe the 80s, but around 100th, it's 90th, 100th, whatever. It's totally fine. I just think it's a pretty big group of quarterbacks who could all finish top five or around there. And I don't want to take the first or the second one. Herbert, yeah, I know you love Herbert, and we'll get to him tomorrow on the quarterbacks preview. Just, you know, dug into it yesterday. I'm optimistic for him. You know, the setup is so good. He could have the best receiving core of his career. He could have the best offensive line of his career, the best offensive coordinator of his career. That's all awesome. But he's only been great twice, and both of those years he averaged more than 39 pass attempts per game. So I haven't seen it that he can be, I haven't seen that he can be like a standout in yards per attempt. But then again, he's a better player than Tua Tagovailoa. And if Tua Tagovailoa could be a standout in yards per attempt, then I guess Herbert can too. Then again, Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnson, they're not Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. So I have a lot of thoughts, but ultimately I think he's really good, has a chance to be great, but I think a lot of quarterbacks do. I just don't want to take the first one in that group.
Right.
All right, so quarterback preview tomorrow. You have you know what? I'm going to leave you with this. Quarterback was really bad last year, in my opinion, and we are approaching it this year as if it's really, really good. And four of the first five picks last year at quarterback were busts. Josh Allen was not, and then it was Lamar Jackson, Jayden Daniels, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. I would call Hurts a slight bust. The other three, pretty obvious busts. And Lamar Jackson was tearing it up before his injury, but it still happened. Yet we are approaching this year like, oh, quarterback is so deep. And I think it's true. So why is that? We'll talk to you about that tomorrow. Thanks a lot to Dave and Jamie. Thanks a lot to Dan for stirring it up in the chat. And make sure you check out Beyond the Box Score, which is about to record now if you're watching on YouTube. And we'll talk to you tomorrow with our quarterbacks preview on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.